Friends, this segment is made possible by Platinum Cadillac and Chevrolet in Terrell, Texas. Stop by and visit with my buddy, Mr. Justin Rudd, and his team of experts, and let them put you in a new Chevy pickup or a Cadillac or whatever you might be in the market for. Also, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma. Check them out at ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. Also made possible by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, folks, we have talked a ton of hunting, and we've got some more hunting to talk in today's show. But let's do not forget about the awesome fishing up at Lake Texoma. For those of you that might not be local here in Texas listening, Texoma is on the Texas-Oklahoma border. It is the striper headquarters of the Southwest. I'll also include it the Southeast. It's a natural spawn, and I have the good fortune to have a friend up there, Mr. Bill Carey, that started his business, his guide service, 40 years ago. And it's the biggest guide service on Lake Texoma, Striper Express. Bill, good morning to you, sir.
Well, good morning, Luke, and all y'all out in radio land.
I bet you there people are waiting all over the world with bated breath to to find out what's going on. Now, you've got a – folks, Bill has a motto that he – a motto that he says, remember December. Now, December, waterfowl hunting going on, you know, deer hunting is still big guns around a lot of places. Striper fishing up on Lake Texoma, yeah, you might have to dress warm. You might have to wear a T-shirt. You know, you never know about Texas weather anymore, Bill. But December, the birds are there. I mean, finding stripers. I think I could even find some stripers up there right now, you know?
Yes, sir. Things are happening at Texoma. It's our second favorite month of the year. I tell people, there's no doubt it's getting warmer. And I call this the peak of the fall season. And what Luke mentioned, folks, is the birds. These are seagulls, and there's just tens of thousands of them that come migrate and spend the winter with you. The best tool you can have out there fishing is a good pair of binoculars.
Yep, and spot those gulls. And you've explained to me, and I've had biologists I've talked to, how in the world do they see down in the water? But they see the, I think, from what I've, I think I know about this, those gulls see that surface, diffused surface water, kind of ripples maybe. They're probably not looking at a shad or a million shad. It's the ripples. You think I'm on track? How does that work, Bill?
Pretty good. Yep. What happens, folks, is the striper is a schooling fish, and they will get these big bait balls, schools of shad, the food forage, and push them to the surface. And from an elevated site like those birds, it just looks like a bunch of sparkles in the water. And they come down and they dip those shad, and you pull up there and you get upwind of them, let them come past you. And, yeah, that's what it is. It's schooling fish and schooling birds.
Like a prism, if you will, a million little prisms down in the water, shiny. Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense. But, you know, years back, they're spotting those shad. I thought, wait a minute. You know, those shad are not, in the winter especially, they're not really right on the surface. They're subsurface most of the time. How in the world are those birds, you know, X-ray vision or CT scan? What's going on with this, you know? But that does explain a lot. And then the go-to baits right now, Bill, once you find the birds, and you guys fish for stripers so much, you kind of have an uncanny ability to know which way that school is going. I guess you just watch the birds moving off to the northeast or the southwest or whatever, and
yes,
then you get ahead of them. And then what? I mean, is the jig program the best right now?
I'll tell you what, yes, sir. Casting under those birds, like Luke said, when you're motoring towards those birds, even though they're always flying into the wind at that, just hovering and dipping, just watch which way the birds are going. The school will be going that way. Get up in front of them. And winter is different than summer. These fish are moving, but not near as fast. And you can get on a group of birds with the right wind. And depending on where you are, I've got a great story of some boys got a southeast wind, and they left the marina, and they drifted a northwest trail, and it took 4 hours to drift across the lake, and they were catching them the whole time.
Son of a gun.
It can be so good. You got to be here to believe it. It's just awesome.
Well, the thing, it's fishing. I know that, but I'll tell you what I'm excited about. On December the, let me look at my calendar. December 5th. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
David Cotton, a good friend, and you know David and his daddy,
Mr. Edgar.
We're going to get up real early on the 5th, and we're going to be up there, and you know, we're going to get with them. It'll be jig time, probably jig time.
Well, let me tell you about the lures we use.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay, folks, we use Bass Tackle 15 to 20 pound test. It's a lot of open water fishing, and we use a little bit heavier jig head than bass fishing. 3/4 to 1 ounce, depending on the wind, with a 4-inch white glow. This is glows underwater, mm-hmm. Sassy shad tail, 4-inch. And one of my guys is just hooked on these 5-inchers with 1.5-ounce heads, and he likes to fish deep, and he pulls some big fish that way. So 4 to 5-inch white glow tails, and we use a lot of Bass Assassin sea shad, but they both have a paddle tail on the end of it.
That paddle tail, opposed to just a straight tail, I guess it's going to move more water, create more. Is that it? Is that the reason?
Sir.
Sometimes
yes.
They work better than others, but yeah. Yes, so sir. It's moving more water, creating more disturbance.
Vibration.
Mm-hmm. That's the word.
Now,
yeah.
Now, when it gets colder in January and February, you don't need that fast paddle tail moving back and forth. So we'll go to flukes with a straight tail.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One other question that I've got for you. The last time I was up there, we did some with Little Dave. Did some topwater. Topwater bite was really. We caught our big fish on topwaters, and they were up to I think the biggest one around 13 pounds. It was a good one. And then we got back and had used live shad on this run, but I dropped a piece of cut shad down and in the boat slip, and I caught a 45-pound blue cat. Now my question is. I'm not really, I don't even want to catch a 40 or 45 pound blue cat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right now, if you use cut shad, you know, use that. Are the smaller catfish, by smaller, I'm talking about 10 pounds or less, are they doing any good there around the marinas right now?
Yeah, what's going on, folks, is we're a pretty good-sized outfit. We got 3 stations with cleaning tables. We'll put 2 guys per table. And when they toss those carcasses back in the water, there's a 10-foot pile of carcasses underwater in front of each cleaning table. And these fish come in, and it's just a free meal. They'll stay in there and nibble on all that stuff and eat. And the largest one this week, I was there. I wish I could show it to you on a video right now. It's a 70-pounder.
Gosh, I remember where your office manager, MT there, right? She caught one about that size the day before I was up there. But they're great. I mean, but we release all those big ones. I like to release those 2 to 10 pounders in the Lake Crisco. You know that. So, I've got a heavy-duty rod and reel that's rigged up for that. I may just bring that and just – lay it back in your rod box there somewhere to get back and drop some of those shad down, see if I can catch some eaters.
That's fun. I was the same way you are. We pretty much know those big ones, first of all, are too magnificent to cut. They just are. And you don't want to eat a big catfish. You know, we grew up with old men hanging them in a tree and
stuff,
but those things are gone.
Exactly. I remember the flatheads, you know, back in the day on trot lines. Oh, you hang these things up, boy, and cut the tail off. They'll bleed out. And then you soak them for salt water for about, you know. But I will say this. Some of those old guys, now we're the old guys, but some of those old guys back then knew how to do it because I've eaten some of them big old flatheads that weigh 40, 50, 60 pounds. They were good. Well, we're getting a little off topic, but you and I always get a little off topic.
Let me tell you about the stripers.
Yep.
Last week we had a customer. First of all, gizzard shad. There's 2 types of shad. The gizzard shad are the best compared to the thread fin.
Yep.
And he put a whole 6-inch down there, and the next thing you know, he's got a fight on his hands, and it's not a catfish. It was an 18-pound striper.
Whoa.
So we started throwing jigs around the boathouse. We didn't know they were there.
Good
Fish
Lord.
10 pounds. It was incredible. He caught 18 pounder. It was bigger than anything we caught on the lake. And we were pulling 10, 15 pound fish out from under our
Well,
dock.
Okay. So Striper Express, boat stalls, you come and get them. No, that's just a testament to Lake Texoma, Bill, you know?
Oh, yes, sir.
I mean, my gosh, stripers. And it is a catfish. Well, the state record, you know, came out of there, you know, back years ago. Cody Mullinex up around Hagerman, you know, caught it off the bank, I think. Well, Bill, I will say this. People from all over can come to stay right there at the cabins within walking distance of your dock. They can do that, and it's an easy fishing trip. We live just a little bit south of Dallas, so we'll be getting up early and driving up there. But people come from all over to fish with you, striperexpress.com, right?
Right. And, Luke, we've already started our winter hours. At Thanksgiving, we board in the part at 9 to 9:30. And you're going to go out early next week because you need to do something later. But I tell people, no, all for the right reasons. The lake is cool. They'll bite all day. So it's really, it makes it simple to drive for most, and they don't have to come spend the night because
you betcha.
9.99 is a piece of cake.
You bet. Well, Bill, thanks for being with us. And, folks, you can, Striper Express is everywhere, but they have a great website, striperexpress.com. For about the past decade, I've been hunting editor for Air Gun Hobbyist magazine. I think the only magazine devoted strictly to air gun shooting and hunting in the country. Well, in that length of time, I've learned quite a bit about big bore air guns and smaller calibers, too. A spot to go to that if you're interested in air guns, you need to know about Pyramid Air. The website is PYRAMYD, pyramidair.com. They have anything and everything you need, from the guns themselves, the big bores or the smaller calibers, to the accessories. Just remember pyramidair.com, and there's a number when you get on the website if you need to call and talk to somebody. Give them a buzz, and they can fill you in on little details that you might need to know about shooting or hunting with big bore air guns. While you're on the website there, I'd like you to check out the big bore air gun that I've done a great deal of hunting with. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw, 50 caliber, pressures up to 3,000 PSI, and it looks like a conventional rifle. Wooden stock. I think you'll like the appearance, and I know you'll like the performance. It shoots not only bullets, but also air bolts as well, tipped with a broadhead. Check it out. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw.